And we're back. Welcome back, everybody. Another great episode. My name is Omar, and this is your other friend, Juan. And we are back at it again. Another great episode of the Intrinsic Podcast. Here to do what we do best. Talk shit.
Yes, we're in the same line. I was about to say the exact same thing.
Yeah.
You got me, right? We're about to talk some shit.
We're about to talk in general. We're about to communicate. That's what we're talking about today. Communication. Now, this is something that we've done very well for the whole span of our friendship, right? We've never had an issue communicating. But there was some instances where we lacked the communication, right? Where we didn't bring things to each other's attention, right? And then when we did, things were dealt with accordingly, moved on from it, right? But I think we can both agree communication is very, very important in any workplace scenario, any friendship, relationship, you know, with family, friends, you name it. I mean, communication is everything. It can even be as simple as when you're going to get a sandwich made, communicating what you want to somebody, right? You go from there, span all the way to like, hey, I'm communicating with my boss because I want a raise, right? Like all of these things are under that umbrella of communication. But let me turn it over to Juan before I start going on a rant and not let him talk for half an hour. What's up, Juan?
What's going on? What's going on, people? I'm in a very talkative sense because I've had a cup of coffee, first of all. Also, this is a topic that I don't know how we've never talked about this. When I was like, hey, let's talk about this, I really spaced out for a second. I was like, have we not talked about this before? Because it seems like, I don't know. I always harp on about it. Maybe it's something that's more recent because of my company, not my company, right, but the company that I work for. Always getting people to talk and communicate because there's this general sense of like, everyone says it like, oh, you can reach out to anyone and you can reach out to anyone, but people don't reach out to anyone. And then you get these miscommunications. For me, it became very apparent earlier that not just within our team, but within the company overall, there was a lack of communication going on, which leads to a lot of problems, right? You don't deal with something initially, it starts snowballing and snowballing and snowballing. And all of a sudden it's a much bigger problem than it should have been because it wasn't dealt correctly. So again, it's something I could talk and talk and talk and talk for days about, and hence the communication. So here we are.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's bring it back. I mean, we kind of always tend to do this with certain topics, but I like to bring it back just to really emphasize this, right? Like when we first met, back in high school, right? We had no issue communicating. I think that's literally the reason why there was such a good foundation for our bond as friends, right? For long term, right? And I've said this before as well. Like, I don't think I've met anybody who I've been able to communicate everything with so well, properly, every little detail, like everything, right? Because I know that you're listening. I know that you're fully devoted to the conversation and you're not like, yeah, bro, like that's crazy.
Excuse me.
Like,
I just got a text real quick. What's that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Or even like, say if we would be communicating, talking or whatever, you're like, hey, bro, hold up. Give me 1 second. I have to like send this or whatever. Right. And so that's really, really important. Right. Because this is just in the term of our friendship. Right. Now, imagine if you and I couldn't even communicate with each other properly. How could we ever find ourselves trying to communicate with people in a workplace, you know, in our day-to-day lives, right? Going to a restaurant, going to a bar, you know, with family members, like all of these things, right? It's such an important thing. I myself used to be kind of shy, right? I was always very social and interactive with people that I already knew. But when it came to new people, I was kind of a little bit kind of shy because it was kind of confrontational. Yeah. It was uncomfortable. Right. And little by little, I kind of overcame that, whether it was a fear or some sort of just weird thing that I had going on. I overcame that. And by doing so, I was able to kind of also improve my communication with other people that I communicated with regularly. So it's like it all kind of came full circle. Right. You focus on one aspect of your life, like we've said before, it'll generally improve everything else that's going on. It just kind of all comes up. Right.
Facts.
So. Where do you want to get started, Juan? How should we tackle this?
That's a good question. I think communication is odd because there's like different stages of like when someone says like, oh, I communicate effectively. I always think like, do you like all the different aspects? Because there's, let's assume within an organization, you have some sort of organization in, you know, let's say a group projects for school or a company itself. Mm-hmm. You have different departments, right? So let's just say in the example of like my company, we have the research and development. So the development team, then we have the product team, and then we have the sales team, the marketing team, some other team I'm forgetting. That's probably not important. Just kidding.
Throwing shade.
So there's like the interdepartmental communication, right?
Mm.
That's usually the one that no one ever talks about. But then also within the department, you have people not communicating with what I'm doing. And if you're in that department and I don't tell you, hey, I'm doing this, and you do the same thing or something that will affect my work, that messes things up, right? Mm-hmm. And if we dive even further, one stage further, me and you communication. So one-to-one person communication. And sometimes, right, so we'll have a meeting, me and Omar, and say we both go on our path and we work on a product and things of that sort. And yet we still get into some conflict where you were doing something that I didn't expect. I didn't do something that you were expecting. Miscommunication one-to-one. Mm-hmm. That I think is the source of the rest of them, because there could be simple, like I didn't interpret what you were saying correctly. That's fine. That's just a simple mistake. But there's also the aspect of not saying everything you want to say. So honesty, really the honest part of it. Like there's no communication without honesty. And the thing that I've noticed is within organizations, because you have a strictly professional relationship, mm-hmm. you're not super likely to be very truthful, right? So if you're working on something and I'm working on something, and in reality, in my mind, I'm like, why the fuck is he working on that? That makes no sense. Like, we just don't need that. But we're in a professional relationship here, you know, so I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say, okay, all right, you do your thing and I'll do mine, knowing that what you're going to do is probably not going to turn out in the future. So you're wasting your time. But again, it's like, how much honesty are you allowed to have? And I bring that up because previously with my specific company, we've had a strictly professional relationship. Yes, I'm friends with my coworkers, but strictly like that. Recently, I had a sort of company summit. We met each other in person. Now I feel like we're a team because I could say things and they can say things too that previously we might have thought, that's rude. Why would you say that? Right? Like there's a bit more tension that each relationship can now take because we've seen each other in person, because we've experienced with each other. And for example, right, like our friendship, it's years of it, right? So if I genuinely offend you, which usually doesn't happen, but if you genuinely offend me or I genuinely offend you, we've had enough experiences where we can move past that, communicate and say like, all right, you know, I apologize. This is what I meant to say. So on and so forth. But in those very initial stages of setting up a friendship or an organization, the biggest thing to establish is communication, but more than communication, I would say trust and honesty, because without trust and honesty, communication are just words. Without trust and honesty, I'm just bullshitting you. I'm not being truthful. So what's the point of communication if it doesn't hold actual value and truth?
Right? Yeah.
So, yeah.
I like that. Let's pinpoint that, right? Let's focus in on that. In the workplace scenario, right, there's a chain of command, right? Whether you're at the bottom ranking position, you're starting off, or you're at the very top all the way up to CEO or owner. Right. There's a chain of command that needs to be respected. Now, through my recent experiences and through yours, and as we were talking a little bit before this episode, typically in a workplace, most people will not be vocal or speak up to their higher ups because they're scared of perhaps some sort of repercussion, or because they feel like if they do, they're going to be on the bad side. Right. Nobody wants to be on the bad side of their boss. Nobody wants to be on thin ice and be scared for their future employment, right? Whether it's going to be terminated or, you know, what's going to go on with them, right? And so that lack of communication in a workplace, especially to your higher ups, can be really, really, really important and critical to the growth of that company, to the growth of the workplace, or just general improvements, right?
Yeah.
And the example that, say, somebody comes to me and says, hey, look, I noticed this and this is broken, right? I need to know these things so that they can be fixed, because something broken within a workplace can lead to somebody getting hurt. It could lead to profit loss because, you know, maybe some products aren't being refrigerated properly. It could lead to even somebody like such as a customer walking in, slipping and falling because something has a leak, right? With something more of like in a workplace like yours, right? That communication is critical to the growth of that startup company, right? To achieving new levels. That's very critical in this process right now, because if it doesn't happen now, then when will it happen? You know, and time is so critical that the more time that's delayed, that, you know, communication is that much more time until anything gets done, until anything gets started, or until any new improvements are implemented. Right. And so like, yeah, like you said, trust and honesty, right? The trust that somebody will be honest to their boss, will be honest to their higher ups or higher ranking officials within the workplace, and the honesty that they're going to be saying to the full extent of what they mean, and not just kind of like sugarcoat it or say, oh, well, I kind of wanted to say something, but I don't know if I should, right? It's like, no. Let's fully dive into it. Like, what's on your mind? Yeah. Let's walk this through, right?
Yeah, and you have to do that because you're doing a disservice to people if you're not, right? We spoke about it briefly in that friendship episode, right? Your friend should be telling you when you fuck up. They shouldn't sugarcoat it. They shouldn't be like, hey, you're okay. Just, you know, don't throw up next time or whatever they say. Like, it's the same thing with communication in organizations and companies, in that it doesn't matter if you're the boss or the CEO or the lowest ranking, whatever person, it's your genuine responsibility. It's in your job description. Communicate effectively with everyone, not just with some people, with everyone. That's something that I mean, both of us, I think, you know, again, childhood culture, a whole bunch of things, we won't dive into that, but like, we're not afraid to talk to anyone. Right. And to talk to them with respect, but also not with any sort of intimidation of you're this person. Like, you're just a fucking guy trying to solve a problem, just like me. You know, not to like simplify, but like, so I've had a lot of conversations now with the CEO, frankly telling him, like, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm telling you, you're used to making decisions because, you know, it's a startup company. So everyone has like multiple different roles, especially the CEO. Having to fill into here, and there, and being used to making decisions that he shouldn't be because it's a small team, right? Mm. But as you grow, you have to realize that now you have more people. Now you have people who are actually qualified, who went to school to have the information and knowledge and wisdom to make those decisions. So as a leader, it's your responsibility, one, to back up, take a step back. You're not responsible for that anymore. You've outgrown that aspect there. You have more people to work there. And then as on the other side, the person that's coming on, even if you're just starting out as a junior developer, whatever it is, that's why you were hired, because you have, even at this junior level, more experience than the CEO or the chief product officer, whoever it is, because they didn't go to school. Their job is to create the roadmap, create the vision to follow. Your job is to go, but also if that path is leading the wrong way, they won't know unless you tell them. They can't, because it's a too technical of a problem that if you don't tell them and you just follow along because, oh, I'm a junior, so I don't, you know, actually know what I'm talking about. That's when you get really into the weeds of, like, you know, months ahead when something's broken. It's like, oh, why didn't you tell us about this? Well, I just trusted you guys. Right. So it's like that double trust of trust within communication, but don't trust so much that you're actually building something that's dumb. Be very honest and question everything along the way. So I think that's the, you know, one of the biggest things there. Questioning is not sort of doubting people or doubting their vision. It's just, tell me why you want to do it this way. Tell me what is the actual problem. Get to the root of what we're trying to solve. Once you understand that, then you can go. But if you have a general, just vague vision of what the problem is and you're already trying to solve it, you're not going to do it in a sustainable way, right? So that's something that I know you've experienced, you know, within your leadership role as well, about, you know, both up and down the chain of command, there needs to be leadership. It can't just be, people at the top telling other people and being leaders. You need leaders at the bottom telling the person at the top, hey, you're fucking up here. Like, I actually have done this for a while. You should listen to me and we should try it out this way. And at the end of the day, the best idea to solve the problem should always win out, whether it's from the top, the middle, or the bottom. It doesn't matter. It's the idea and the actual truth over everything, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's actually leads me to the example that I was going to use, right? So like, say within my scenario of my workplace, the most valuable employee or employees that I have are those that know more than me, because they will facilitate my job and in return also help me improve at doing my job. Now,
right.
The majority of the people that are on my team are older than me by many, many years. They are far more experienced in life. They are far more experienced within like leadership roles, right?
Yeah.
Not to, you know, degrade myself or say that I'm not capable, but I have no problem recognizing when somebody's better at me at something, right? But in return, it's only going to make me that much better, right? Because these people are essentially forcing me to assume that role, and not at a slow rate or, like, oh yeah, figure it out on your own. It's like, hey, you need to do this. Hey, you need to do this. Hey, we need this. Hey, we need this. Constant reminders at all times. I'm like, okay, you got it. You got it. You got it. Right. And it's that check and balances, right? Bringing these things to my attention isn't going to offend me. It's not going to disrespect me. It's not going to harm my ego, right? These are critical, right? Because those are the checks and balances in a workplace. As these things are brought to my attention, I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to make notes. I'm going to notify who I need to. I'm going to contact whoever, right? And in return, it's like these things will get done. But until somebody brings it to my attention, I won't know about it, right? But one of the most valuable team members I have is somebody that they themselves has been in a leadership position for many, many years. And they are very well trained. They were trained by some of the best. And they themselves have also, you know, done a lot of different things in life, in terms of like different types of work. So this person, I mean, is like, to me, one of my favorite people to be working with, because I get to pick up the brain all the time. Like, oh, what would you do in this scenario? And they always have an answer, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I want to become. I want to become the kind of leader where you will have no doubt in your mind that when you ask them a question, they will provide an answer. Right. Or if they don't provide an answer, they will provide a method to the answer. Right.
Okay.
And that's the type of person this is.
Let me play devil's advocate here real quick.
Let's do it.
Cause I see what you mean. I don't want to be that though, because as soon as you assume that you will be able to answer every question, you're going to fuck up when there's a question that you don't know how to answer, but you have it in your mind, I should know how to answer this. And you give some, frankly, a half-assed answer. Right. So I think I see what you mean there, in that you should, for the most part, know. But I think there's a bit of bravery there, even as a leader, to say, I don't know. I don't know how to do this. Right. And collectively, everyone come together and say, hey, guys, I don't know how to do this. Like, can we just meet up real quick? I need 5-10 minutes with you all. Let's talk through this and let's figure out how exactly to do this. Because as smart and as powerful as a leader is, there needs to be, you need to check the ego, right? You can't just say, I'm the leader and I know everything. You need to say, hey, you know what? I don't know everything. I'm here to still to learn from all of you. But yeah, you're right. The should have most of the answers in place.
Right. Yeah. That's definitely correct. I aspire to be that type of person that would have a lot of answers and stuff, but realistically, I don't think I'll ever have all the answers. I mean, even stepping away from a workplace, even in life, right? You'll never have all the answers to life, right? You just won't. But with time, you know, I'll gain that experience, whether it's life experience or just work experience, to know more, in the sense that I will be able to cover most topics. And like I said, even if I don't have all the complete answers, I can provide a method to that answer, right? Where it's like, if I myself don't have the answer, I'd be like, oh, I know who to refer you to, right? In terms of like another person that can provide the answer, or I know what department to reach out to, or I know who you need to contact, right? In order to get you that answer. Or next best thing is like, you know what? I currently don't know that, or I'm not really at the liberty to discuss that with you, but give me some time and maybe we can revisit this on a later occasion, right? You know, those kinds of different things, right? Where it's not half-assing, right? It's not like a half answer. It's just like a, let's hold off on the answer for now, but I'll get it to you with time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the questions I ask myself often in my current position is, it's a very simple question. It's not, but it's just, it bothers me. It's like, okay, so you have these different departments. Why don't they communicate? This is a very, this could be just very specific to my company, but in a, as a general question, like, I'm just curious about that. Like, why don't they communicate better? I understand on some level because, so I'm in the development department. So we're not affected in a day-to-day basis on what the sales team is doing. They're focused on their own thing. The sales team is doing their own thing. So they're not concerned about some bug that we found that isn't a big deal, right? So I see on some level how everyone being in their path is focused on that, but it still doesn't make sense to me why you, and I'm not the advocate of like, oh, let's meet every week and talk every week. I don't think there's a need for that. But a monthly meeting, you know, every 2 months meet, I think is something that just makes sense because yes, even though genuinely I'm not going to get, my job is not affected by what this department does and that department does, but as a whole, the entire company is affected by what I do, what you do, and most importantly, how what I do and you do like connect to each other. That's the aspect that people, I think, fail to realize and fail to grasp the big picture. I always am thinking about the big picture. Even when I'm coding something and I'm trying to make this, I'm thinking, how is the client going to use this? How is the sales team going to sell this? What actual value does this hold? Right? Because if I just, again, and it's my responsibility, because if I just walk the straight line, do my job, don't ask questions about why, that's the most important question. That's the question I ask the most. How? I don't care. Functionality, you'll figure it out. What is it? Okay, I don't care. The why question.
Right.
Is the one that matters, because if you don't understand the reason for what you're doing, I honestly think you don't stand any chance of making that product or whatever it is you're doing correctly, right? Because the context is what matters. In my job that I handle data is just numbers. If I give you the number 4 now and I tell you like, hey Homer, what do you think about this? What's a number? It's number 4. It's like, there's no context there. But if I tell you, hey, Omar, what do you think about having and owning 4 houses? Then you have context of like, well, I think that's too much because you have property. You can say something. But if I just give you the number, there's no context. And in the same sense, expand that data example to communication. If I don't provide the context to my team, because now I am moving to a more leadership position with this next raise or the next promotion, if I don't communicate to my team, hey guys, this is why we're doing this. I know this kind of sucks and it's kind of dumb, but some things just need to be made in order to remain competitive in the market, right? Not everything is ideal. It's not like when you're in school where every problem has a simple one solution. You have to make these compromises there. And again, communicate with all the other departments so that once you hand over what you did to someone else, they're not thinking, why do you do it this way? Right? All those questions that no one asked at the beginning, now they're going to ask them. And if they disagree with something, if they're like, hey guys, this is not what I wanted, who's at blame there?
Right.
You.
Then it just becomes a whole blame game, right?
You're exactly. Like, you're at blame. As the leader is always at blame there, which is why I've told CEO, I'm like, this is you. This is on you, right? Frankly, it always comes down to the leader and in things that my team does that it comes down to me. I messed up there.
Yeah. I mean, I think that interdepartmental communication is definitely important, right? Because I see where you're coming from, and like, Ealing, furthermore, like, who's the one that's communicating within departments too, right? Because typically, like, any department will have a head, right? The one that's in charge, the leader, the lead. But what if that person isn't properly trained, or what if that person isn't honestly meant to be in the position they're in, right? then it's like that communication will also be poor, right? Because the thing is, within communication, it's not just about speaking, right? It's not just about Juan and me speaking to each other. It's about us elaborating. It's about us explaining, defining every single term that we're explaining to each other. Because if we can't, then it's like there's miscommunication. There's improper communication. And that's also a disadvantage, right? Almost as bad as maybe just not communicating at all, right? Because now, instead of not communicating and just not knowing, now you just know the wrong thing, or now you think the wrong thing based on our conversation, right? And like you said, that will lead somebody working on something that they're not supposed to, or that will lead somebody just working towards the wrong direction, completely different from everybody else, right?
For sure.
And I think about that, because you kind of mentioned that, right? But also, like, why would it also only be limited to just the leads of the department communicating with another, with each other, right? Why not also the people at the bottom tiers?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Everybody within each other. But what's the reason for limiting that? It's only going to continue to develop these departments within themselves, right? Where it's like, say, one department communicates with the other department, right? Both leads speak to each other. Okay. Now, perhaps the two bottom ranking employees on each one of those teams communicate with each other. But one of them says, hey, in my department, like, we actually check within each other, like, every day, you know, at the end of our day to make sure that all of our tasks got done. And then the person in the other department is like, oh, we only do it every other day or every week. You're like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. And so now that also kind of re-embraces, like, hey, we need to be on the same level. We're not working on the same level, right? Yeah. That can lead all the way up to the CEO, right? Or, you know, some sort of management position, leadership position, not also re-embracing, hey, we all need to be on the same plane, right? If it goes all the way to the very bottom and those guys are communicating with each other and they recognize, like, hey, we're not on the same level, then it's like, then it goes right back up, right? But if that checks and balances didn't happen right there, you would have never found out, right?
100%. That's, and also the thing is, we have to acknowledge that leaders have a lot on their plate just by necessity. Mm-hmm. So yes, ideally you have the leads of the of each department having a meeting every week or 2 weeks, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, they're busy. So like you said, it's essential that the people below those leads are communicating. And I personally do that quite a lot, because I have questions that in my mind, I'm like, I think I need to ask the lead of this other department to know. But I know, and I'm conscious that they're busy. They have a lot of stuff on their plate. So in my mind, I think, okay, I can't have that person, or I don't want to bother that person, because it's also not a high priority, hey, pay attention to me, answer my question thing. It's just a general, let's figure this out thing. So who can I go? Right. And having trust in people that aren't the leads is critical here, because otherwise you're always going to be bothering one person and there's always going to be a bottleneck. Anytime communication is stopped, starts and stops with one person, that's a bottleneck. Because let's say that person goes on vacation. Uh-oh, what happens there? Yeah. There's no communication. You cut off the entire communication there, because everyone was depending on one person. That's where the problem lies, right? You have to have multiple leaders within each team. So if one person leaves, that's fine. There's 2-3 other people that know what that other person was working on, how it's going to affect everyone else, and how this other person that has the question can move forward potentially. Maybe it's just as simple as like, hey, they were doing this, this, and that. I can't answer more than that, so we'll have to wait until they come back. But that's enough to give this other person context and not just be completely in the dark about how their work interacts with this other person. Right. So again, I've been harping about this a bunch in my company about, I can feel myself rising up in terms of a leadership position, and I love it. That is what I want to do, but I don't want to be, it's a weird thing. It's not to say I don't want to be the leader, but I don't want to be the only leader. I don't want to, let's say I become director of data science or CEO. I don't want it to just be like, everyone asks this guy a question. He's the only one that has the answers. Right. So I've been very adamant with our interns and with a guy we just hired full time about, hey, I'm going to make these decisions most of the time, but I want to make them with your opinion, because you know more about this project than I do, because I haven't been working on it so that long. And on another essence, if I go on vacation, you need to know enough about what I'm doing to hop into that leadership position, even if it's for 1 week, just attend the meetings that I usually attend, or just the important ones. That way we don't have a bottleneck. That way we don't have communication cut off because I'm gone and all of a sudden everything's falling apart. Mm-hmm. I think a leader is failing if the company cannot function without them.
Right.
I think that's just failure. The company right. should work perfectly with or without you. It should work better with you, of course, because you are who you are. But if it falls apart when you're not there, you're really fucked up because you didn't establish the protocols. People don't know what's going on. You get back, the whole building's burning down. You know, the whole company's burning down. That's mm-hmm. on you. That's not on the people that made mistakes while you were away. That's on you. You didn't train them. You didn't educate them. You didn't inspire communication and trust. And that's, again, that those aren't small bumps from a company. Those are like some bankrupt type mistakes.
Yep.
That you don't communicate, you know? So
yeah. Interesting stuff. It's a little bit of a more of an inside look into what Juan does. Personally am really intrigued by this stuff. I find it fascinating, but,
it's awesome.
Let's shift into another kind of a segment, you know, away from, I guess, workplace communication, right? Let's go into a more personal, form of communication, right? We kind of touched on it in the beginning with the whole friendship communication, right? Kind of how we met and all those long conversations that we'd have, which we've obviously stated multiple times and explained to you guys where we're coming from, right? I mean, imagine listening to Juan talking about his like workplace for like 4 hours. I'd be like, damn. And what about this after like the 4 hour, right? It's like, if we keep going for another 4 hours, right? That's literally the extent of those conversations.
100%.
But there is another thing that comes alongside, you know, the honesty, the trust, and communication. And I think one of those is you literally just mentioned it, is like the inspiration, right? That interest, right? I think if you as a person are inspired or you're just interested in different aspects of life, you know, that will lead you into different avenues. That will lead you to try to find out all these things, right? Because you're just curious as a person, right? And so within that communication, right? Say, I want to learn more about bars, right? Maybe I start to go hanging out around bars. Next thing I know, I'm communicating with the bar manager or whoever's a bartender there. They offer me a job. Like, hey, man, like you seem like a cool person. You should come get a job with us. Like, okay, cool. Now I'm working at a bar. But I'm so intrigued that then I start talking to the owner, right? And he starts telling me about what they do in the back, right? Like ordering stuff, keeping things in supply, right? Their kegs, all that. And you just learn more and more and more and more, right? Maybe to the extent that then you come out of that with saying like, you know what? I want to start my own brewery, or I want to have my own kind of a line of alcohol, whatever, right? And then, you know, you just continue going. Point being is that interest, right? That inspiration that you have, right? When somebody communicates with you, you want them to take something away from that conversation. You want them to be inspired, right? You want them to take that with them and hopefully serve them some sort of purpose in life, right? If you're just speaking with somebody so plainly, like just like, yeah, you know, I'm just checking off the boxes. Hi, hello, how are you? Everything good? Cool. All right, bye. Have fun. Take care. You know, like if you're just checking off the boxes, like what are you really communicating? That's no form of communication, right? You want to genuinely care for people. You want to genuinely ask them, like, what's going on with your life? How you been, right? Involve yourself in that conversation. Not just be on the surface level, but go deep, right? Maybe you don't care so much about that person. Okay, but what about what they were doing? What about what they did yesterday? What about for what they did for work or what they do in their free time, right? Dive deeper into that, right? And gain either some self-inspiration or inspire that person, right? If they tell you, well, you know, on my weekends, you know, I typically have them off from work. And honestly, I'm just kind of resting. I don't really do all that much over my weekends because I'm just really tired. And then you kind of come along and you say, hey, well, why don't you work out? Or why don't you go on a walk? Or why don't you try to find a hobby, right? And try to plant that seed in that person, right? And say, hey, you could be doing something else on your free time, right? And then you're like, hey, you know what? You're right. I'll have to look into that, right? And that's something that they can take with them and you know, hopefully implement into their future weekends off or whatever, right? But, you know, that inspiration through the communication is so, so important, so vital, right?
Gotcha. I have to clarify something. So what is it that you're trying to say here? Like, in the communication with itself, you need to focus on it being engaging. Is that the essence of it?
Yeah. Engaging and inspirational, right?
What, like inspirational, say, why?
Because we're speaking about more personal communication, right? Because we're away, from, I guess, kind of from the workplace conversations. Yeah, you know, within like your friendships, within the different relationships that you have is of course being very engaging, right? Trying to dive deeper into the conversation, but also being inspirational, right? Trying to hopefully motivate people and inspire them to do better or to do more of whatever they're doing, right? And not give up halfway within that process. Because that's what you've done for me, right? There's so many things that I've just mentioned to you, like, yeah, I kind of want to do this someday. And then like a week later or a month later, you're like, did you ever end up doing that one thing? I'm like, fuck, no, I didn't, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you'll keep me on my toes in that sense, right? And that's engaging to me. That's inspiring.
I see what you mean. I see what you mean. Yeah, that's a good point. I always speak about communication with the assumption that that's in place, but it's an assumption. And for some people, it's just not there. And rather than listen to you for the sake of hearing you, they're just listening to you for the sake of responding and saying something in return.
That's it.
Not really understanding, not taking an interest, just like, yep, that sounds good. Yeah, yeah. Weather's looking pretty bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like a very dry conversation. Bro. Yeah.
Surface
100%.
Level.
Yeah, surface level. You can't do that with friends. Even within organizations, like here's the thing, even with a professional, within a professional standpoint, you have to have that, I think, because if you don't have the passion, and that's at least like my interpretation of like what you're saying, like the passion in the communication, the passion in the friendship, the passion in the job, what's the point? Why are you doing it? And I know like, okay, you have to pay your bills. Sure. Whatever. Everyone has to pay bills. But I think that's just, you know, that's a red flag. If you're not interested in the communication with someone else in a relationship, in a friendship, in your workplace, workplace, whatever it is, that to me is a red flag. Because what's the point? What's the point if you're not passionate about it? What's the point of us still being friends if I'm like, yeah, whatever, dude, like, you know, I'm glad you had fun over there. Like, just why are we friends then, right? Why are you working in that place then? There's no purpose of it. I certainly see what you mean. There needs to be... for me, I would call it passion. What's the point? If there's no passion, and that's, I think, what's allowed me to be where I'm at, frankly, in life, like just going towards the things that make you passionate and communicating that. Because in talking about, like, whenever I talk to Omar about, like, my job and things that I do there, I'm passionate about it because it's an interesting problem. But because it's also for me, and he knows this, and I've said this before, like a stepping stone towards something that makes me super excited. This is the true passion right here. This is a mini passion, you know, if you want to call it that. I'm trying to jump up and go over there, right?
Right.
And that people can hear the passion is the thing that I'm trying to say here.
Yeah,
you can't bullshit that. You can't bullshit interest. I can't just be mildly interested in what someone's saying. Like, you're either interested or you're not interested. You're either passionate about whatever it is you're talking about, or you don't really care. You know, there can be an in between. I'm not saying it's black and white, but for the most part, I think you really have to convey that passion. Because when people know that you care about what you're saying, what they're saying, then they tell you more.
Yeah.
And the communication gets better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, any sort of conversation, you know, should kind of appear like a push and a pull, right?
Yeah.
I'm telling Juan, hey, maybe you should try this. Hey, maybe you should try this. Or have you looked into that or whatever, right? And now it's pulling back. And I'm like, now let me listen to Juan, right? It's speaking, but also listening, right? Engaging in that sense, but also being fully aware of where that conversation is going, right? Like, if that conversation is headed down cliff, right? It's going to lead me to like telling you like, hey, you got to F off, or like, hey, you know what? Like, leave me alone. It's like, we're not communicating so well, right? Yep. We both want to be walking away from that communication, mutually inspired, mutually respectful, mutually happy and aware, right? Of, okay, we got some things to work on, or okay, cool. He brought this to my attention, right? Again, there isn't a general assumption about these things, but we're also like, I guess a little bit more I don't even know if I want to call it like we're veterans or something, right? But we've been doing this for a while.
We're experienced.
Like, yeah, we understand what this really means, right? And so I want to make it very feasible for people that are listening to this to really understand what we're talking about. Like, we're breaking it down all the way down, right? Because that lack of communication can literally tarnish relationships, tarnish work relationships. It can make or break a company, make or break a workplace. You know, even the bonds that you have, like, say, with your parents or any other loved ones, it can literally ruin it, right? Like, say, sometimes it's not so much about, like, lying about things, right? Like, oh, well, you lied about this, right? Sometimes it's just, well, you didn't tell me the truth. You didn't necessarily lie. You just never stated the truth, you know? And, you know, sometimes people come out of those kind of conversations hurt, right? They're damaged, right? They're just like, damn, he didn't trust me enough, or damn, they weren't honest with me. Like, what did I do? You know, what could I have done to kind of, you know, make that actually work out? Like, they start blaming themselves and all this, right? Just through the miscommunication and all that, right? So that's kind of what I'm also wanting to get to, is just like, in every aspect of your life, communication is there. Communication is a method by which you can directly communicate with people. I guess be understood by people.
I like that loop. You need to communicate in order to communicate.
Hey, like I've said it before, I'm the best at saying the most by saying the least, right?
He's saying so much and yet so little.
Yeah. But he really sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
He sounds pretty fancy. Yeah. It was like big words, photosynthesis and communication, you know, they just
emerge, intermingle together, you know?
Yeah.
No, but communication is basically the method by which you can directly kind of convey your thoughts with people, right? Like, if I wake up someday and I'm telling Juan, like, you know, I feel like shit, but then I don't tell him, how is he going to know that? Right?
Yeah.
I got to be able to tell him, right? I got to be able to be descriptive and tell him why exactly, right? It's kind of like what you were saying too about earlier. Like, if somebody just gives you a number, no context to it, what are you going to do with the number? You ain't going to do shit, right? But if I tell Juan, one morning I wake up and I'm feeling rough, he's like, what are you, like, hungover? Are you sick? Like, do you have COVID? Like, what is it, right? I tell him, like, hey, man, like, I've been working an X amount of hours this week. Like, I'm not feeling all that well. Like, maybe this morning we can't record. Can we push a little bit later? You know, it's like those details matter, right?
I think what you were trying to say is communication is the foundation of understanding, right? Because that's all we're trying to do when we communicate. Just please understand me, understand my life, understand what I'm going through, understand the problem that I'm trying to convey to you, whatever it is. We just want to understand each other. That's all we ever want to do, right? Within relationships, within communication. Why did that thing that I do make her mad or make him mad? Why did me solving the problem this way not make them happy and interfere with everyone else's work, right?
Right.
We're just trying to understand each other. But I appreciate that you brought up earlier the assumptions, because that's something that I can get better at. Because, and I mean, you know this, right? When you get to a certain level of, I don't know, wisdom or knowledge, I at least personally do this. I won't say you, but I at least personally assume people are at similar levels, not the same level, but similar levels. That is an incorrect assumption.
Whatever it is that you're talking about.
That's an incorrect assumption in, like, exactly what you just said, all those reasons. So there you go. Something that I can improve upon already, because I know that sometimes I talk about things and assume that everyone knows what I'm talking about at the very base level, but that's an incorrect assumption. Normally you can't assume that thing. That's a really big assumption, especially when you're trying to communicate something that's complicated and important, because if something's important enough, there should be no assumptions. There should be nothing misconveyed or not understood within the communication. Otherwise, that leads to problems. And what's the point of communicating if I create a presentation for Omar and I'm like, hey, this is what I do and this is how this happens. And it's like, but I never go through the basics of, by the way, this equation means this. This little variable is this, right? But again, in my mind, of course, it's an equation. You understand it's a derivative, blah, 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 blah. Why would someone else understand? You know, even if they've gone through the same education system or taken the same class, if you don't give them context, if I give you one equation and I just say, look at this, man. Like, I made this. Like, so what is that? Sorry. Like, that's a fancy little symbol there. Like, oh, I didn't give you context. Actually, that's a heat equation. It models, you know, an engine or something like that. Like, oh, that's pretty cool. Okay. Then you start getting engaged. Then you start asking questions because I provided the context for you to understand. And I've cleared and opened the field for questions that actually matter, not just like, what does that equation mean again? Why does it matter? It's like, you know, you should be getting questions about what you're saying because they're going to be engaged. But pay attention to the type of questions you're getting. If they're mainly conceptual, if they're mainly like, why are you presenting this again? You fucked up somewhere along the lines.
Yeah.
Because the question should really be like, that's an interesting approach. How about if we try it a little bit differently and try that? Like, there should be intricate questions that are more so interested in the application and not so much the concept. Because if people are focused so much on the concept, that's the words, right? That's the words, but not the action. And we're worried about the action here, right? Not just words, action. Boom. There we go. Wordplay.
Beautiful.
Pretty proud of myself for that one.
Yeah, I mean, let's give a little round of applause for Juan for recognizing that.
That was a pretty good one. I was like, oh, our motto. Yes.
Yeah. Bring it around. But good for you, though, for recognizing that you know, that you're making a mistake by assuming certain things, right? I think that's
I need to work on that for huge. Sure.
A lot of people struggle with that. I mean, a lot of people can't recognize things regardless, right? So the fact that you're doing it live on this podcast, look at that, people. If you needed any more inspiration. You got it right there for Juan. Another thing I also wanted to mention is like filling in those gaps, right? That goes hand in hand with being a leader, but also like say within the scenario of like, say Juan's company or just any sort of hypothetical company, right? Within different departments, there's people that are just kind of, you're 9-to-5ers, you know, just regular employees, right? Just getting the tasks done. Then there's the people that's in charge of that person. And then there's another person probably on top of that one, you know, person that's in charge of that department. And then there's somebody else, right, that's in charge of multiple departments, you know, so on and so forth, right? Maybe we kind of touched on this in the leadership episode, maybe not. But typically, I was remembered by what you were saying earlier, like, within that kind of an environment, the workplace environment, you typically want to have people being able to step up into the next role if needed to, right? If somebody's missing, if somebody's sick, if somebody, you know, God forbid, gets in an accident or whatever, right? Like, you want somebody to be able to replace you in the case that you need them. A lot of people are the opposite, right? Where it's like they don't want to train people because they're scared for their own job, right? Or their own security for whatever reason. But it's like, it shouldn't be that way. Everybody should be able to do everybody else's job if needed to, right? Because that's what I tell people about my position. I'm like, I got to be able to do all of your guys' jobs, including my own, right? As a manager, right? But why shouldn't it be the other way around as well, right? Why shouldn't they be able to do some of the stuff that I do, right? Perhaps, you know, 2 or 3 people will make up what I do as myself, right? But that's fine.
Mr. Big Dick here.
Over the shoulder. Okay. Nice. But I know, but like realistically though, because as a leader, right, it's your job to fill in those gaps, right? You could have somebody that's an employee that will know a lot of different things, they just don't know how to implement them into their job, right? And as, you know, either a leader or a lead or somebody that's in charge of that said employee, your job, your task at hand is to communicate with them and express to them, like, look, these are the gaps in between, right? Filling in those gaps. Once you kind of fill in those gaps, it's like, it all makes sense. It all connects to them. Right. And then they see the vision, right. They're inspired, they're motivated. And then they understand, oh, so now I see what it is that you do for your job. Like, now I understand why I do what I do and why you do what you do.
Yes.
Now it connects.
And that's then the like, good stuff.
Because then you can work together. Right. Then it's no longer of this, like, oh God, my boss is making me do this. Now it's like, oh, okay. I need to get this thing done so that my boss can get this thing done. So that then he can, you know, go up the chain of command, give this information or give this product to the next person up, and it continues going up and up. I'm just as important as he's important, as the next person on top of him is important. We're all important.
For sure.
We all work together. It's a team effort.
100%.
This isn't just me, like the, you know, you're the typical, the donkey carrying like all the luggage and stuff, you know, or like whatever. It's like, we all work together. We all hold our own weight, right?
But they say, there's no I in team.
Definitely isn't.
Ooh. I think that's a good place to leave it. We'll leave you guys with a quote here. As always, communicate. Hit us up on Instagram, YouTube as well, or Gmail, whatever it is. If you guys are interested in certain topics, or certain guests as well, we can always try that. And am I missing something here, Omar?
Drop a like, drop a comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Share it with your friends, loved ones, as always.
Yep. Communicate, people.
Hell yeah.
Yep. So we'll leave it, guys, with this quote from George Bernard Shaw, who says, and think about this quote because it takes a little bit to sort of understand it quite well. He says, the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. So the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. Right? Don't assume he communicated with him, she communicated, check in, make sure that it's there, because if it's not there, right, we always go back to the assumptions. That's where you get into trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. Check yourselves. Look at that. We came full circle. We picked out that quote at the beginning of the episode and we didn't even realize, like, That's awesome. I love that. I love this episode. Come on. This is a good episode.
That should have been our quote. Fuck. I'm going to steal that one. That's our quote now.
Stamp the Intrinsic Podcast.
I don't know who that is. That's our quote now. Right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
See y'all next week.